So let's just open it up. Does anyone want to start off with sharing this morning?
I would like to share something the Lord gave me and a revelation that really impacted me. And I've shared this with several people already, but I want to just tell you how it happened. I was on a walk, and I was on my way back home, and this movie that Mel Gibson made called Apocalypto literally just came to mind, just flashed in my mind. And I don't know how many of you have seen Apocalypto. I think he made it after he made the Passion movie. It's really the story of paganism. And in the story, you know, there's a tribe of people. They're all, everybody in the movie is a pagan. There's a tribe who worship a pagan god, and there's a tribe who don't. And the one who worships the pagan god comes into this other tribe and kills them and carries them away captive and takes them back to their city where they're offering them in sacrifice. It's really graphic. It's horrific. It isn't anything I would suggest anybody watch. But the story is how one young man escapes. He's taken captive and they get him over there, you know, but he gets away and the whole show's a nail biter, and he gets back. He runs all the way back home, saves his wife, who he had put in a pit to spare her from the attack that happened. And he's still running, and he goes like to the edge of a cliff, and he looks all out into the harbor. He looks over the ocean, and there is this big ship. And the white man has come. So on my walk, that came to my mind, and I thought, wow, you know, in Mel Gibson's mind, he makes this show about paganism and how horrific it is. And then here comes salvation. Here comes the white man who's going to bring Christianity to the island or to the land or, you know, whatever it is. And then I realized they weren't bringing Christianity, they were bringing Catholicism. And the more I thought about it, I realized that Christianity was never exported like that. Only Catholicism was. And if you think about it, which I hope you really think about it, after the apostles died, and probably sometime during the second century, the truth of the gospel was not being spread around the world. And by the fourth century, the papacy was in place. And they exported their religion all over the world through Spain and England, and, you know, everybody was Catholic. And if that be true, then it was the first generation or the first century church who had the truth of Christ redeeming you from iniquity, who had the truth that Christ was the Son of God born in eternity past, who had a true understanding of death. And it's the last generation church. Everybody in between is Catholic. Now let that sink in for a minute. For hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, all that has been taught in this world called Christianity is Catholicism. And one day, Napoleon sent his general in 1798 to arrest the Pope. He arrested the Pope on the throne, and they thought they were through with Catholicism. But see, Catholicism was already in their heart. Catholicism was in them. It wasn't the Pope. It's the lie that Jesus died to pay your sin debt. It's the lie of the Trinity. It's the lie of the immortality of the soul. I mean, we could literally make a list. And when Martin Luther broke away from the Catholics, he continued teaching Catholicism. Lutherans, Presbyterians, you know, name the church, they teach Catholicism. They always have, because that's all they've ever heard. Because it's only the first century church and the last generation church that will have the pure truth. You think I'm making this up? Paul wrote that before the man of sin is revealed, there's going to come a great apostasy. Now, for me, knowing who the man of sin is, I can go back and look at that and realize what they apostatized from. But they would say, I'm the apostasy, and they're still waiting for the man of sin. It's funny, isn't it? Everybody in between the apostles and us heard Catholicism and believed it. And that's all that's been taught in the world for 2,000 years. And I don't care if you're the Baptist or the Adventist, I don't care who you are. They're all teaching Catholicism in one form or another. Adventists resisted it, but they wound up just being Catholic themselves. So that is the state of the world. That is why the world is in the state that it's in. And that is what God... See, at this point, you can't overcome it. It's done. It's been going on for hundreds of years, and you're not going to change it. And you might find people to get out of it. But the majority of the world, Christian world, is Catholic. Those Spaniards and the people who came into other countries to colonize and so on, they brought Catholicism, but they called it Christianity. And so I had to go back, and I realized, see, the first thing, when I saw that, I thought, oh, whoa, let's go to Revelation 17. And in Revelation 17, he gives you the history of evil, basically, and the history of righteousness. And when he makes the statement in Revelation 17, I'm not getting into all this chapter and explaining all of this. I hope everybody's already heard it. But in verse 10, it says there are seven kings, and the kings are the ones who have it right. Now, they weren't all on the same level of righteousness, of righteous understanding. But there were seven kings. At the time John wrote this, five had fallen. The sixth king was the time of the apostles. Five are fallen. One is the time of the apostles, and the other one, which is the last generation church, has not yet come. When he comes, he'll continue a short space. That's us. It's a one generation movement. And because it is, I look at the first group, the time of the apostles, Christ, his ministry was toward those apostles. John 17 tells you that they were the work that he came to finish. And he prepared these guys to give the message. But how long do you think that truth lasted? I mean, I think of us. How many of us have children that if we were to die, they would pick this truth up and keep going? Anybody have any kid like that? In other words, when we're gone, it's done. This is going to have to be wrapped up and finished before our death, because nobody will pick up the torch, so to speak, and go with it. And I think it was the same in the second generation. The second group, you know, the people the apostles taught, I bet you it was the same way. This stuff that we teach is so different than the way we naturally think. Mm-hmm. You don't imagine God being like that. It's too good to be true. This is the good news. He isn't condemning you. Mm-hmm. He's showing you iniquity. He's trying to set you free. This is the good news. And when we're dead, it's done. Zechariah laid the foundation of this temple, and he's going to finish it. Zechariah 4, because it's a one-generation movement. This truth, there will be few find this. The man of sin has corrupted the entire world and has for centuries. And the book of Revelation is about the people who come out of it. They come out of the apostasy. The apostasy happened. Paul says, hey, it's already going on in my day. It's already happening. Mm-hmm. Well, I just think of, you know, I went back and started looking at history, and it dawned on me the people who are writing these things about history, if you go back to see, well, when did they start teaching he died to pay his sin debt? Well, they wouldn't consider that an apostasy. They would consider that the truth. And probably the people who were speaking truth, they didn't even record it because they thought they're wrong. I mean, consider what I'm saying. We're it. This is all, every church we belong to was corrupt from the beginning. The day that you went in that church and got baptized and cried and lifted your hands and clapped and sang, they were in apostasy toward God and have not changed to this day. Mm-hmm. That's huge. That is a huge statement. They've always been in apostasy. The son of perdition has been revealed. Before he is, there's going to be a great apostasy. So he came to be in the 4th century. Before him, people had to be in apostasy. Listen, you had to be apostate to let somebody like him take over. You have to be in apostasy. You know, I look at some of these politicians and I'm thinking, how do they keep voting these people in office? Well, the bigger question is, how can they keep sitting in that church? Mm-hmm. How do they do that? How do they keep sending Kenneth Copeland money? Somebody explain that. It's because the blind lead the blind. How does that happen? It just befuddles the mind, doesn't it? The apostasy the world is in. This is probably one of the biggest subjects you can discuss today on this conference, is recognizing what has happened to the world. You know, Stephen sent me a little cartoon. I love it. And I nearly called him and said, hey, I love this. It's this guy, and he's standing in front of multitude, millions of people, thousands at least. As far as the eye can see, there are people in front of him. He's all by himself. Mm-hmm. And he says, yes, you're all wrong. I thought, whoa. I sent that to my daughter, and she wrote me back, and she said, I'm glad you're like this, Dad. I respect you. I'm very proud of you. Well, that little picture is all of us standing before the world and saying, yep, you're all wrong. Everybody. And truly, Mel Gibson has brought this out beautifully, because if I can see it, anybody can see it. The world is pagan. And when Spain came in, or whoever it was, they didn't bring Christianity. You know what? They still don't have Christianity. They don't know what Christianity is. You can't give somebody something you don't have.
Mm-hmm.
They promoted Catholicism like everybody else. Even after Martin Luther, even the Baptists, all of them are promoting Catholicism. They're all teaching Catholicism. To this very day, it's the same thing happening, except in our church. We're different. I've got something I'd like to share that I wasn't going to. I've shared this maybe with a couple of people. I'm preparing the fourth symbols study, and it's on prophecy, symbols and prophecy. And I think that's why the Lord gave me the revelation of how Catholicism was spread throughout the world. I mean, really, see, the only way you're going to see that is if you know what the truth is. Once you settle on the fact that God is love and he didn't need a human sacrifice, then you have to ask yourself, well, was there ever a time that that message flooded into these countries, that, you know, in Africa and just all the places that they brought so-called Christianity, did they ever bring that? No. They never did that. So it's obvious that you and I never heard the truth. Why would God do that to you? Why would he do that to us? You never heard it. The people that were in our lives didn't possess the truth to give us. So just looking at that, you know, I wanted to investigate that. And I turned to Revelation 17, and this is where this Jewish guy is explaining, giving his testimony. He's one of the guys that pours out the vials. But in chapter 17, verse 2, well, he's going to explain the woman in this chapter. The woman's a harlot. And the very last verse of chapter 17 says that she is that great city. That great city is Babylon. And we've connected years ago how a woman is a city, is a mindset, you know. So here is Babylon, confusion about God. He says, well, I'm going to explain this woman and the beast that carries her. So in verse 2, he says, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. And I stopped right there, and I just went in prayer. Father, what does that even mean? And I want you to, I'm just going to bring up something. I would have never been able to see this without some of the recent studies. But in Daniel 7, where you have Babylon giving a message, Daniel 7:1, that message is coming from Babylon. And it creates the lion, the bear, and the leopard. And later in that chapter, he says that those, that lion, the bear, and the leopard, in the unscript piece, he says, these are four kingdoms that shall arise out of the earth. He says, these are the kings of the earth. So if I, you know, the Lord has shown us what that is, your pride, your unchanging heart, and your unwillingness to forgive. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, with this woman, with this mindset, with this spirit, this way of thinking. How does that work? Well, let's say that somebody does something that really hurts you and you can't forgive it. And there it is, you know, the leopard, the spots, you're going to be blemished. And that king will go in unto that woman. And she will help you justify why you don't have to forgive that person. What they did was really bad. You don't have to forgive that. See what just happened? The king of the earth went in unto the woman and committed fornication. Why is she a whore? Because she sleeps with all the kings of the earth. Your pride can go into her. She'll tell you why you can just stay that way. You're really okay. Come on. Everybody else is wrong, not you. That's how it works. And I thought, well, you know, she's a whore. She sleeps with all of them. She takes in different men and brings forth children. The children are those thoughts that you decide upon because the way she perceives God, connected with your pride, allows you to do that. Now, the Holy Spirit is another woman. It's New Jerusalem. She's not a harlot. She's only got one husband. She will never allow your pride and unchanging heart and unwillingness to forgive to remain in your heart. She won't listen to it. She'll put it away. She's faithful to her husband. Isaiah 54, he tells New Jerusalem, your husband's your maker. Your redeemer's the Holy One of Israel. See, the truth had to be redeemed. Now, just bear with me, because ever since Catholicism has been spread, and you know when I say that, who am I talking about? The Baptist Church, the Adventist Church, all of them, they don't know the truth about God. They never have. They have never known it. And what they are preaching to you will allow the kings of the earth to go in into the harlot. That's what's happening in these people's hearts and minds in these churches. They are justifying what they do. In harlot again, you know, you can go to Leviticus 18 and he talks about how a woman should not lay with a beast. Bestiality. The lion, the bear, and the leopard are all beast. He says when that happens, the beast needs to be put to death and so does she. Your beast has come in unto the harlot to justify what you're doing so you can continue to live and be the way you want to be. No changes there. No need to change here. It's okay. I can take the Bible and prove to you I don't have to forgive you. I can take the Bible and prove to you I can hate a homosexual. It's right here. I can take the Bible and prove whatever I want to prove.
That's good.
Well, your beast just went in unto the harlot, and you're bearing the harlot. You're carrying that harlot. And that's how you see signs of it. That's how you know when somebody isn't right. See, the Holy Spirit will teach you humility so that you'll esteem everybody higher than yourself.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit will convict you because that is who you're to be married to. That's your wife. You marry that. She marries her children. She's the virtuous woman. And that's what God would have us do. And again, I cannot say this enough. You need to really get this straight in your mind. Until you have heard this truth coming from this church, believe it or not, you're in error. That's hard to swallow, isn't it? Is that hard for you to take? Don't believe me? Go ask the people that you think are right. Ask them what happened at the cross. Because you see, that's the gospel. What happened at the cross anyway? Why did he die? Is the Trinity true? Go ask them. And when you get your answer, face up to the fact. They don't know what they're talking about. And learn to use your Bible, for goodness sake, to help somebody. Because nothing else gives you any authority. You don't have any authority. You know, we don't have any ability except what God gives us. He is our ability. He's our power. Jesus Christ, he is the power of God. He's the ability of God.
Amen.
So, I just beg you, and I'm telling you, I plead with you. For God's sake, you can't neglect the scriptures and just believe whatever you want. It doesn't work like that. It has never worked like that. If you're doing that, it's the harlot excusing it for you. God has given us every example. Sometimes I feel frustrated over it. It's just amazing to me that the world is in this place. And it's amazing to me. The patience of God toward humanity in that.
Mm-hmm.
Century church, he gave them the truth. He raised up the apostles. And it died away. Why? The man of sin.
Mm-hmm.
But the man of sin did not happen without there being an apostasy first. There was an apostasy. And then the man of sin. And he's still there. It says he'll remain until Christ gets rid of him. He's still there. People still go, well, we're not Catholic. Oh, yes, you are. You just think you're not. You've never heard anything but Catholicism your whole life. Yeah, well, we don't believe in that and that. Well, yeah, but you believe in why Christ died to pay a sin debt. You believe the Trinity. You know, what do you believe? Immortality of the soul. What do you believe? If you can't take the scripture and justify it, and I mean justify it with God's church, then you're kidding yourself. It's just simply the lion, the bear, and the leopard going in into the harlot and bringing forth children. One right after the next. And I remember... There's verses I could read you. I'm not going to do it. I just want you to consider Psalms 137, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. We wept when we remembered Jerusalem. Well, he concludes that by saying, blessed is he who takes the children of Babylon and dashes them against the stones. That's not literal, of course. Do you know what happens when you confront these people? And in so doing, you're taking their children and dashing them against the stones of truth, putting them to death because they need to be put to death. It's just your justification for sin. It's just simply the big word, iniquity. That's all you're doing. It's iniquity. So I've been reading some of these verses, and I just simply trying to understand what in the world happened. How did this happen? What happened here? And I got to say this. I'm going to shut up. You have the apostles. And in Revelation, the Lord tells you, the apostles are the foundation of your salvation. What they taught. The way to get into the holy city is through a gate. And the gate is a symbol of the scriptures. Because all of the children of Israel, their names are at the gate. They're the ones who wrote the book. And you got to be in harmony with the apostles. Well, how can I be? They're dead. Well, they wrote stuff. Now, why wouldn't you spend the rest of your life engulfed in that book? Why wouldn't you do that? These guys walked with Jesus Christ. They saw him die and they saw him raised from the dead. They saw him ascend. He loved them. He told his father in John 17, he says, I finished the work you gave me to do. That's what he did. He got those guys ready. He got those guys ready. And how long did the truth last? Not very long. And now he's gotten us ready. We're preparing to give the truth. And I want to read this. Jesus said, you're Peter, and upon this rock I'm going to build my church. And the gates of hell stop. That word hell is Hades. It means not to know. The gates are the scripture. The gates of hell are not going to prevail against you because you're going to know the truth. I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. What's that? Applying the atonement. To change the way you're thinking about people, to change the way you think about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
By that atonement, brother, when you do that, you're in the kingdom. That's kingdom living, and to walk in love. That's kingdom living. Blessed is he that takes these children of Babylon and dashes them against the stones. That's basically your job. If you're going to take down Babylon, it ain't pretty. Why? It's all they've heard all their lives. And you know what? That's all their neighbors have heard. That's all their pastors heard. They can go ask, hey, that's all they've heard. That's all they've heard. So I'm going to close. I've got to read this in Psalms. Sorry, the more I think about this, the more astounding it is to me. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness of it, the world and they that dwell in it. He founded it upon the sea. He established it upon the floods. Who is going to ascend out of it into the hill of the Lord? Zion. Who's going to stand in God's holy place after being founded by the sea? Well, here it is. He that has clean hands and a pure heart, he's not lifted up his soul to vanity, and he hasn't sworn deceitfully. He's going to receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek your face, O Jacob, not the God of Jacob, that seeks Jacob. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord. He's strong and mighty. The Lord is mighty in battle, brother. You go against Babylon, he's with you. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory will come in. Who? Who's the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He's the King of glory. Basically, in essence, that's why we're here. Lift up the gates so the King of glory can come into your heart. We've been called by the gospel to receive, to enter into the glory of Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. There's not another church out there that'll tell you that. You're supposed to receive the glory of Christ. Give me another picture of that. Well, he is the fullness of divinity bodily. He's the fullness. Think about it. And you're to be made in his image. So when we reach that fullness, he'll send you to Israel to give them the truth. I pray we're all prepared. I pray we're prepared to do it now. I think the giving of the message now is going to help you be ready. And then we're going home, whatever that means. Whatever it all means, I don't know. I'm open to the truth. I want to be accurate before God because I love God and I have a deep respect for Jesus Christ emptying himself and becoming a man. Even to the point of the death of the cross. I'm telling you, couldn't you just hold him? Couldn't you just come before him and just hold him for a minute? Just tell him thank you. Thank you for what you've done. I'm done.
Scott, one quick comment before we close. If I could say something real quick. This would be the conference I would send to your family and friends that are SDAs, especially. Because everything that's been covered from A to Z, and I believe that sincerely. Thank you.
It reminds me of the scripture, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man.
Thank you for sharing that. You know, who do you think you are? You're the last generation church. That's who you are. It's amazing. It's just amazing that here we are, here we sit. It's us.
What a privilege.
What a privilege.
Truly blessed.
Thank you, Dennis.
Truly blessed.
It's great, Heavenly Father. serving you is where it's at. What can I say? Serving you and loving you by loving others. Serving you, serving you, serving you. I pray that we all learn to love serving you. You're so fair. You're so honest. You're so gracious. I look at my own life and the failures after having come to the knowledge of God and the failures and realizing that where iniquity abounds, your grace super abounds. You have more grace because you believe in us. You see the state of our heart. Father, we're before you now as your church, as believers. We ask you to fill us with truth. I pray that prayer that you would fill us with the spirit of truth.
Amen.
And you know what? I pray it in Jesus' name. Because that's what you said. We believe in that man. We believe what he did. We believe he was following your instruction. And I believe you are the one who had all of that come together on the cross so that we could see our own soul and seek you for forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And Father, we recognize we're nothing except what you make us. We're nothing. We are nothing, and we need to get that through our heads. We want to serve you in spirit and truth, and we want to walk in the glory of Jesus Christ with him, the glory being his character. We want to be like that. More than that, we want to help other people be like that. There's so many people out here that I believe are really honest in heart. They just don't know where to go. They don't know what the truth is, but they know what it isn't. And I think they're turning from the Babylonian churches and just staying home, maybe. I don't know. People need help. They need guidance. They need you.
Mm-hmm.
And they need this body of believers to help them.
Mm-hmm.
So in Jesus' name, I pray for each person on this conference. In Jesus' name, I pray that you touch each life. I don't have the ability to heal them. I don't have the ability for any of that. But I do have the one ability I have is to pray to you and know that you hear me. That's my ability. That's what we've got. That's the ability we have is to petition you in Jesus' name and pray that you help us. So I pray for everybody on this conference, everybody that has spoken up and everybody that's remained silent. We need help. May we all exercise our ability to pray. You are Yah. You are the only true and living God. How glorious is that, that you're here in this meeting with us. What an amazing truth. It just is amazing, and we worship and thank you. We always pray and do all things, always, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.